we'll just dive into the meat of this interview. And first, I'd like you to define the topic that we're going to discuss today, which is social media marketing.
Yeah, so there's lots of different sort of definitions floating around there. Online, if you Google social media, you'll see all these fancy explanations talking about technology, talking about tools. But honestly, I like to think of it really as a giant conversation that's going on online, just as you would have conversations offline at a networking event or party or meeting. People are doing the same things, except they're doing it with the tools that we have, like LinkedIn, Facebook, et cetera. It's really like a big cocktail party going on online, and businesses are using it to promote themselves, but they're also using it to build relationships, which I've always thought is what business is about anyway. It's about people doing business with people, building relationships, building trust, and so now people are just using the internet to do that like they used to offline.
Okay, so you basically see it as a way to network, and are you finding it's working well to drum up sales in addition to partnerships?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can use it a couple of different ways. One is to use it to get actual end clients. So end clients, end customers sell products. But also, sometimes people forget that it's a great place to find strategic alliances and joint ventures. And I personally have used it to, you know, connect with people who I want to partner with on projects or, you know, create programs with. And so I've created strong relationships that way as well. In addition to getting people to join my email list and to join my programs and end up as clients.
Okay, and just another follow-up question. Do you find that social media is working best as kind of a way to start the conversation with people, or do you find that you start the conversation elsewhere and then bring it onto social media?
It's definitely both. I think it happens both ways. It's sort of like the two-way street. What'll happen is I'll meet people initially or originally on a social media site, and then they'll end up coming over to my website as a result because they'll want to know more about me and my business as they talk to me and get to know me on social media. And then on the other hand, there's people who find me originally through my site. Maybe they'll see my content on my blog or they'll find my website some other way. And they will then see that I'm active on social media because I have certain, you know, badges and things on my site that show that I'm active, and then they'll connect with me there. So I think either way you do it, you can strengthen it, you know, one and the other together.
Okay, got it. And if you could just explain kind of why social media marketing would be so important for businesses' success today.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that these days, you know, with it having been around for almost 5-6 years now, it's like you're conspicuous by your absence. If you're not using it, that's something that is less and less seen. Most business owners are finally understanding the importance. And I think the biggest reason it's important is because, again, of that relationship building aspect. It's a great way to get to know people, connect with them, but also just visibility. I mean, myself personally, I built my business from scratch. I mean, I had no clients, no name recognition, I had no list, I had no full-time business experience even. And what I did was I started my blog and I started connecting with people on social media, letting them know about my content on my blog, and then I started a newsletter, and I would also let those people know about the newsletter. And so I built sort of grassroots following with people. And so that's why I'm one of the biggest proponents of it, because I can see from my own experience how it can build something from nothing. And that's one of the bigger points I like to say about social media is it levels the playing field. So there's a lot of business owners today who in the past may have had to spend lots of money on PR or, you know, billboards or ads or whatever it may be. But now there's a lot of lower cost or no cost tools for people to get out there and get their name on people's radars. And they don't have to spend a lot of money. It's all about just connecting through these free tools.
Okay, you mentioned it's kind of a red flag if you're not on social media. And I definitely agree that with a lot of prospects, you know, that does, you don't have a website or any presence online, it's definitely a red flag. But would you say it's better to not even create a social media presence if you're not going to maintain it? Or would you say you really just you have to go all in and build up your profile and actually maintain it.
Yeah, I would say honestly, if you're not going to be using it on a regular basis, it's probably not even worth creating a profile, because you're only going to get benefits and results if you're using it on a consistent basis and you're really working it. You know, there's social media sites that need less care and maintenance, I like to say. So for example, you know, Twitter, Facebook, you need to be pretty often there to see results, whereas LinkedIn is a little less interactive. People are a little less, they don't spend as much time there. It's not as fast-paced. So, you know, you could create a LinkedIn profile and then, you know, use it once a week, twice a week, whereas, you know, you might want to be on Facebook more often. It really does depend on the social media site, because they all have a different culture. But I would say in general, if you're not going to put the time into it to do it on a regular basis, like at least, you know, every week, it's probably not even worth, you know, getting started, because it's not going to get you any traction.
That definitely makes sense. Do you rattled off a couple social media sites. Are those kind of the top three I think you listed there, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn? Are there any others that you would recommend a business take a look at? And do you have any recommendations in terms of which ones to start with?
Yeah, I would say that Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn are probably the big three, and they're what I call the sites with critical mass, meaning there's already a really good groundswell of people who are using them and they've been around a while. So I definitely recommend those to look at first. And then people always ask me a sort of a follow-up question, well, which one's best for me? And what I usually say to that is you don't have to be on all three if you don't want to, because it's just going to be, you know, more time. But you really want to primarily look at where your market's hanging out. Where are they? You know, if they're not LinkedIn people, then it might not be worth your time to look there. So that's something to look at too. But as for other sites, I think that one of the big other social sites that came around in the past year was Pinterest. And Pinterest, for people who don't know, is a really, it's virtually a pin board that's online. And a lot of people use it to post pictures and art and, you know, graphical quotes and things like that. And that's probably one of the newer and hotter social networks out there. But it's not really for everyone, because if your business doesn't have something you can sort of be visual with, it doesn't make a ton of sense to be there. So it might make sense if you have, you know, physical products, or you have things that you're creating or art, or you're going to use it for, you know, inspirational quotes that have a pretty picture behind them, you know, that kind of thing. But I have seen that site has really taken off, whereas a lot of the other sites that, you know, people might mention, oh, are you on so-and-so's site, and then it sort of fizzled out. So there's always those kinds too, but it's not really worth spending a lot of time there if you're not going to get a lot of people hanging out there with you.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And I have seen a lot of those kind of shiny social media sites pop up, and they definitely fizzle.
Yeah, yeah.
The next question I wanted to ask is why you think a lot of businesses struggle with social media, and maybe why do a lot of businesses kind of drag their feet and don't want to kind of jump in here?
Yeah, I think there's several reasons. One of the big ones is the time management aspect. I think a lot of people see it when they're not there yet, especially. They look at it as just another thing to do on the to-do list, and it can be really overwhelming and sort of not a positive thing. And they think, well, I don't have time for that. So there's that, and you know, that's a matter of just really making it you know, part of your schedule, putting it on the calendar, devoting time, thinking of it as a marketing activity. I mean, that's really just time management. But I think the other problem or issue that I see is that people are afraid of it. You know, they're really afraid to jump in because they don't know what to say, or they don't know how they're going to be perceived, or they've heard, like, you're supposed to be a little bit personal with it, and they're afraid because they're a business person, how that's going to work. So I think that those are probably the two main stumbling blocks that business owners have.
Okay, and you mentioned not having much time to do it, and I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Is there kind of a minimum time investment that you would recommend, or that you've found, you know, once you kind of boil it down with your system, that that you can just get it down to X minutes a day or so many hours a month?
Yeah, it's a great question, and you know, again, I think it also depends on how many sites you're using, or you know, how much of a marketing strategy it is for you. Because for some people, it's one of their main marketing strategies, whereas other people, it's just sort of a one piece of a much bigger pie. So for me personally, I can say that on average, I tell my clients that they can really truly spend 15 to 20 minutes a day updating social media and then be done. And you know, to some people who think it's the big time suck, they're like, how could that be? But the reason why they're able to spend such little time and still get results is because they have clear goals in mind. They know exactly what they're going there to do and why they're using it. And therefore, if they're clear on their goals, then they can just, you know, do the strategy maybe in the 20 minutes in the morning and then be done, and they're still going to get results. So for example, for me, it works that it's the first thing I do every morning before I get into my email inbox, and that sort of sucks me in. So I'll spend my 20 minutes, I'll check my main, you know, main three sites or so. And what I'll do, part of my strategy is answer questions, respond to anything I need to respond to. If somebody's private messaging me on the sites, I answer that. And then I add any content that is appropriate. So for example, if I have a new blog post, then I'll share that. Or if I have a promotion going on, I'll let people know about whatever I'm promoting. So it's a matter of just knowing exactly what you're using it for, because that'll make it a lot easier for you not to fritter away all this time. Because when you don't know what you're doing there, it's so easy to just look at the clock and be like, wow, I just spent all these hours and doing, I've really done nothing. So.
Right, and I don't know if you've run into this problem, but I use Facebook advertising, and I you know, we have a Facebook profile that we update. And one problem I have, curious to get your take on this one. If you log in, you also obviously have your personal profile, and that you can see the alerts, and you can kind of get sucked in away from that business activity and sucked into your personal life. Do you have any strategies around that?
Yeah, so specifically on Facebook, I would say, you know, it's interesting. People have different views on how to use Facebook for personal versus business. And I have always been of the belief that, you know, the more people who can sort of have visibility of my business, the better. So when I first started on Facebook, I only had a personal profile because there was no such thing as pages. I mean, that was about 6 years ago. So I started using my personal profile for both. And I build it up to the maximum amount of connections, you know, like 5,000 people. And during that time, I also started a page. So my personal philosophy is that I use both, with more weight to the business type updates on my business page. So whereas, you know, 95% of my updates on my business page are about my business, I would say maybe 20% or 30% on my personal profile are about my business. The rest are, you know, quote unquote personal. But for me, that works. It's a mix. For some people, they want to keep them completely separate, and that's just, you know, that decision that would need to be made by that person. But here's the thing. I feel like these days overlap so much that sometimes it's really hard to separate. And I just kind of give that warning to people because they think, you know, they can keep this really clear line, and these days the lines are really starting to blur, so it may not be as simple or as easy for people to do that. So, and that's just kind of part of the way it works these days. You know, there is that blurring of the personal and business going on, which I think in a lot of ways is a good thing.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely what I see as well. You touched on kind of why people struggle to get in. Are there any common mistakes once people are using social media in their business that you'd recommend they avoid?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones is probably the idea of promoting too much. So, you know, people will go on there and understand that it's something they want to do for business, but then they really take it too far. They say, all right, I'm going to do everything that's promotional for my business. And what that does, yes, it might get people to your website. Yes, it might get you know, people who sign up for your programs or whatever it may be. But it can also turn off a lot of people because, again, there's the word social in social media, and some of it has to be non-business, non-promotional sometimes. I find that especially true on Twitter. So I think that people need to be careful of that balance. And, you know, sometimes people will ask me, well, what's the general rule? Is there a rule? And so if people really need that, I say, okay, if you really need sort of a guideline, think of it as the 80-20, you know, 80% non-promotional versus 20% promotional. So something like that might work best on Twitter as opposed to a Facebook business page, because a Facebook business page is specifically for your business, whereas on something like Twitter, people tend to mix it up with both.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb. Now, let's get to kind of the meat of this in terms of the six steps. Could you just walk through each of those steps and kind of go into more detail?
Yes. So I have these six steps that I created early on for social media, because a lot of people were saying, well, what is this step-by-step process? You know, what's A to B to C? You know, what do I do next? And my steps are essentially allowing somebody to get from brand new on social media to actually getting clients and customers and easing subscribers with their social media presence. So the very first step of the six is sort of your foundational step, and that is understand what social media is and the benefits of using it. And, you know, a lot of people these days get what social media is, but there's still a lot of business owners who haven't dipped their toe. So in my system, I explain sort of the idea behind the fact that it's not hard selling, it's not hitting people over the head, it's not promoting all the time. It's businesses having conversations in the online communities where their prospective clients and customers hang out. And it's so beneficial, the reason why it's so great is because it's a no-cost way to connect with your customer base, your client base, and also establish expertise, drive traffic to your site, and really communicate to people the value of what it is you offer. So that was important to me to make that sort of the foundational step. Step number two is just simply to get a blog. And the reason I included this is because I picture your blog as your social home base. You know, you can have a lot of social media websites that you're visiting and social media profiles, but if you don't have anywhere to send people outside of there, you're really wasting your effort in a way. And websites are great. You can have your own website, but I always suggest that people add a blog to their website because they tend to rank higher in the search engines. And they also are great because they help foster a sense of community around your business because you have comments, you can engage with people. And again, when you're publishing beneficial, helpful content on a regular basis, people tend to see you as an expert or a go-to person. So I thought that was really key for the second step, because before you can start using social media, you do want to have somewhere to send people.
And really quickly on that,
yeah.
Do you recommend so you get a blog, and we definitely recommend that for all of our customers as well. Do you recommend then using the content from your blog to then repurposing that into the social media?
Yeah, I do actually, and I think that's probably the most time-effective way to do it. People say a lot of times they're so overwhelmed with all the content they have to crank out. You know, oh, well, I know content's important, but how do I have time to create it? I am a big fan of repurposing, and so I'll take content that I write for my e-zine, and I'll take that same article and I'll post it to my blog. I don't reinvent the wheel and create, you know, a different blog post and a different e-zine article. But then I also take that content and repurpose it everywhere else. So we blast it to, you know, Facebook, to Twitter, to LinkedIn. You know, sometimes we'll do a podcast. You know, I'll even take like a sentence or two from an article that's sort of a standalone sentence, and I'll make that a tweet. So I definitely encourage people to do that, to really repurpose and leverage their content as much as they can.
Okay. And then I think you were on to step three.
Yeah, so step three is all about building your social media profiles. So as I mentioned earlier, you don't really need to have a presence on every social media site out there. The big ones, obviously, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. You could even consider YouTube social media. And what will happen is you'll have to do some exploration as to if it makes sense for your business. Is your ideal client there? Are your prospects hanging out there? Is it a good fit? And, you know, if you're on a site right now and it's working for you, then continue using it. Don't feel pressure to use a million different sites. But I think it's important to mention the ones with critical mass, because you don't want to be hanging out in a place where there's, you know, like tumbleweeds blowing by and no one's talking. And, you know, even if somebody says this is the hot new site, if there's nothing going on, it's really going to be hard to get any results, obviously. So step three is really about creating those social media profiles and making sure that, you know, they include all of your relevant information, your URL. Make sure that you're using them as a way to send people to that home base that we talked about, so that you're actually not just relying on the relationship in social media. You're actually sending them to the website as well, because ultimately, you want people to become a part of your community in, you know, in a way like your easing list or become a subscriber and things like that. So step three is all about building them up. Step
okay,
number
great.
Four. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. In terms of building your profiles, I would guess you would recommend putting more kind of a personal twist to it, rather than posting pictures of just, say, your logo and maybe your office building. Would you recommend, you know, pictures of the actual owner and some pictures of the employees and maybe even some content around kind of what's happening in the office?
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that, because, you know, it's one thing to post a logo or, like you said, a picture of the building, but it's not personalized. You want people to get a sense of, you know, the people working in the company, even if it's just one or two people. So it kind of reminds me of the question people ask about the, like, your Twitter profile or your Twitter avatar. You know, should I use my logo or should I use a picture of me? And in almost every case, I would say to use a picture of yourself, because, again, people do business with people and they want to see that you're a real person. So anytime you can add things like that to any of your social media profiles, I think it's beneficial. And it's kind of a funny anecdote, but, you know, some of my most popular posts on Facebook and my business page have been totally unrelated to my business. You know, I'll post a picture of my cat and I'll say something about that, and it sounds silly, but people who have cats come out of the woodwork and they're like, all these comments, all these likes. And so it just kind of goes to show that it doesn't always have to be about the business or sort of the nameless corporate facade. You actually want to show people a little bit about what goes on behind, you know, behind the business, either behind the scenes of your business or even something that's from your personal life. So I do think that's important.
Okay. I think we're up to step four.
Yeah. So step four is about making your blog social media friendly. So as we said, having a blog is really a great step in the right direction. If you're looking to dive into social media, it's a form of social media because it's got comments and you can engage with people. But there's more that you can do once you have your blog up. And your blog could be a hub to really connect all of your social media activities. So to make it social media friendly, this kind of goes back to what you asked earlier about, you know, is it better to send people from the website to social media or vice versa? You want to do both, and the way you can encourage that on your site is, you know, include badges, include buttons, you know, include widgets, something that shows that you have a social media presence. You don't want it to be the only thing your site's about. You don't want it to be super overpowering, but you do want to say, you know, hey, I'm on Facebook, join me there. You do want to encourage comments on your blog. So anytime you post content, you want to actually directly ask for feedback. And it sounds really like an afterthought, but a lot of people don't do this. But sometimes when people come to your blog, they're just looking for permission to make a comment. So I always make sure I end my blog post with things like, you know, share your thoughts, let me know what you think, you know, what did you think about step number two that I talked about. So you're really encouraging conversation. So that's a really great way to make your blog social media friendly as well. And the other thing is just to have share-friendly content. And what that means is, you know, what is the type of content that would be most apt to be shared? So in general, you're going to always want to have good content. You know, you want to strive for that. But you really want to think about your target market. What will they be most likely to share? What will they be most interested in? And then use that to guide, you know, your content strategy for your blog. So that's step number four.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt again.
No, it's okay.
One problem I've definitely seen and curious to get your thoughts on this. So when you first set up your blog and you put your kind of your social media badges on there, you're obviously going to start with very few friends. And I'm just curious if you recommend you hold off until you get to, say, X number of likes on your Facebook page or X followers on Twitter, or do you think it's best just to throw it up there, be honest, and say you've got about 10 friends?
Yeah. It's a good question. I would lean toward just being honest, put it up there, and get it out there, because I think that's one of the ways you build your audience, is by being public and going public with your presence. And so we all sort of start from zero, and I think people realize that. And the more you can publicize it, the faster your numbers are going to grow. So I always say to people, be proud of your 5 Facebook fans, or be proud of your 10 list subscribers, because there are people who are following you, and that's sort of precious to you and your business. So I would definitely say not to wait and not to hide, because the more you put it out there, the more following you'll get.
Okay. Yeah, I like that advice. Definitely remember that each like or each person on your list is the actual person.
Yeah.
That's really
definitely
critical.
Because I think,
okay.
I think one of the things about it is people have sort of a shame around a small list, or a shame around a small following, and you just don't want to sort of look at it that way. You just want to be grateful, even if it's small.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then the next step is step 5, and that is about building relationships with your target market. So after you've got the blog up, you know what social media is, you're building your profiles, you have made your blog really friendly for social media, then it's about actually taking the time you're spending on social media to create relationships. And it's really, there's a lot of ways you can do this, and as I mentioned, it's just as important to create relationships with potential clients as it is joint venture people, strategic alliances. But you want to remember, at the heart of it all, it's really about people. And so this is like the burning question people always have, is how do I create relationships? How do I do that? And really, there's not a magic bullet. It's about showing up consistently. So if that means every day for you, or if that means every other day, whatever that means to you, you show up consistently. You're helpful. You provide feedback. You share tips. If you're on Twitter, you're retweeting other people. You're sharing your content. You're providing advice. Anything like that is going to lead to more visibility and to more traction. And any of that is going to lead to engagement, because if you're sharing good stuff, people are going to notice, and they're going to comment back, they're going to follow you, they're going to go to your website, and it builds up over time. So I think the most important thing to remember about this step is that you might not see your efforts pay off right away, like overnight, but what you're doing is planting, it's like planting seeds. You're planting seeds here and there that may pay off later, so you really just have to stick with it, and then the results will come over time.
Okay.
So,
and
yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to ask kind of how you handle when you're just getting started and no one's really talking or commenting on your stuff. How do you handle that? It sounds like you're just saying you got to put your head down, stick to it, and eventually – you'll start stirring up some conversation.
Yeah, I think it's that, and I also think it's being proactive. So, for example, you can't just expect people to follow you organically all the time. So you can't just expect people to find you. So it's about doing things like putting it in your e-zine that you have a Facebook page, or sending an email to your list and letting them know you're on Twitter, or it's about going to tools like, for example, one of them would be wefollow.com. That's a directory of Twitter users. Actually being proactive and having you or someone on your team go there and find people in your niche who are using the sites, and then start following them and connecting with them. So there's proactivity involved. You have to actually do things to get things going. But if you continue to do that on a regular basis, things start to snowball. It's almost the same when I teach list building to people. You know, that they find it so hard to build their list, and I'm like, you know, just aim for that first 1,000 people, because if you get to the first 1,000, it just starts snowballing from there. You build momentum, and it's the same thing with social media.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so then the last step is step six, and this is the sort of the show me the money step. It's about turning friends and followers into clients and customers. And this is actually my favorite part of all of this, because what I started seeing early on and still see sometimes now is people rely on social media as the magic bullet, and it's just, it doesn't work that way. You have to have other things happening as at the same time. And so to achieve best results, you want to have lots of different marketing tools in play all at once. Now, I'm sure there are people out there who, you know, they rely on social media and they get a lot of business that way, but it's sort of the exception to the rule. Because online, a lot of your job centers on getting people to your website so that people can find out more. And one of the best ways to increase the chances that someone's going to eventually buy from you or hire you is to build the list, as we just mentioned, the email list. So essentially, you want to have a way to capture people's information when they come to your site. So that's how you turn your friends and followers into clients and customers, is because you're making making them part of your community, actually. Because that's a way for you to create, you know, send great content to them on a regular basis, build trust, make offers. And so that's why I still think that, you know, an email newsletter is a really great marketing tool, even though social media sort of eclipsed it for a while. I think it's still really powerful to show up in people's inboxes. So I think that should be the ultimate goal, and that's really how you, quote-unquote, monetize your social media connections.
Okay, so you're basically saying use social media, build the relationship, then kind of redirect the traffic to your blog, where then you will convert them onto an email list. And
mm-hmm.
on your email list is really where you'll actually proactively try to sell.
Yeah, you proactively try to sell some of the time, you know, mixed with obviously great free content. So that's why I always encourage my clients for their newsletter to be, you know, partial selling but majority great content, because again, that builds the trust, and it lets people know that yes, you are available to hire or to buy from, but you're also somebody who provides useful content, which makes it a lot more likely that they're going to hire you in the future, because again, you're proving your expertise and you're not always just selling all the time.
Okay, and do you recommend using these social media sites for customer service? I have heard of some businesses doing that. Just curious if you've done it yourself, or if you, any of your clients are doing that.
Yeah, I think that I think it's a great idea, and some of my clients I believe do that, because they have, you know, someone on their team that might handle certain things that come in. I think it's wonderful. I see some of the people that I'm the most impressed with online are the ones that I see handling things with their customer service team, you know, gracefully and elegantly. You know, sometimes if there's a customer complaint, or if there's, you know, something goes wrong, you know, either the business owner themselves or somebody on their team handles it and really addresses it, rather than deleting the post, ignoring it. You know, I think that makes it actually sometimes worse. So I think it's a really great tool to be able to reach out. And, you know, you see big names, big corporations who do this. Not a lot of them do it, but the ones that do it well, it really does cause you to have more of a respect for that company, because, again, they're not just hiding behind the corporation. They're actually showing that they're a human, and they can reach out to their audience and offer support through social media.
And another trend, and I'm sure a lot of people on the line are thinking about this, is, you know, it is a big time commitment, or you're saying it's not too bad, 15, 20 minutes a day. In terms of kind of outsourcing this work, or also having someone, maybe like an assistant, do the work for you, do you recommend that they post as the business owner, log into their account, or just keep it totally clean and have the assistant post on his or her name?
Yeah, that's a good point. I honestly, I really feel like if it's the business owner, it should be the business owner who it just feels a little strange to me that, it's like somebody else posting as me. I personally don't feel comfortable doing that in my own business. What I think that is okay to delegate to somebody on your team would be something that doesn't require your own voice. So maybe something you could pre-schedule, a certain promotion or an inspirational quote or a tip or something. There can be things that don't necessarily require you to be there, or you could give them more administrative type tasks to do with social media. One example that comes to mind is if you have a pre-selected criteria of the type of social media updates you like to share, maybe have somebody on your team go collect blog articles or go collect articles that are online that are great content to share with your followers. They could collect that for you and then give it to you, and then you could post it. That kind of thing. But I just sort of don't like the idea of the robot or the replacement, somebody acting as you. Just kind of feels a little
Right.
weird. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Another follow-up question. In terms of kind of using social media to direct the traffic, I know Google Analytics recently added some social media tracking. Is that typically what you use to kind of gain insights or look at kind of the effectiveness of your social media campaigns, or are there some other tools that you use?
Yeah, I think that Google Analytics is the big one. I've always used that to track my website traffic and all of the sort of statistics about that. I think that it's also good to look at things like if you use a Facebook page, they have their own insights for you to see in the dashboard of your page, where you can see who's liked your page, how many, their age range, all of that. I think that's really, really good to look at as well. Another thing would be, if you use WordPress, like I'm a big proponent of WordPress for a blog, there's plugins you can use to look at your stats for WordPress as well. But I think Google Analytics is probably the best all-in-one tool to use. If you use something like a Hootsuite, which is, for people who don't know, it's a way to post to different social networks all at once. It's a way to, group your followers. It's a really powerful dashboard for social media. You can use that kind of tool to track, how many people clicked on your links, how many people, took an action with your link, all kinds of things like that. So I think that's another great tool.
Okay, great. I'm sure a lot of folks on the line want to know or want to learn a little bit more. So, where would you recommend they go to get more information about you and kind of what you offer in terms of your services?
Yeah, so what I would suggest is they check out my main website, which is called she'sgotclients.com, SHESGOTClients.com. And I always say my company is primarily serving women entrepreneurs, but cool men too. So men are invited to come to the website as well. And
Appreciate that.
yes, I always try to keep my men in the loop. What they'll get at that site is lots of great, articles, content, blogs, all about social media and online marketing. And if they would like, they could grab what is called my online exposure kit, which is right there at she'sgotclients.com at the top of the page. It's free, and it's a three-piece kit. It's an e-course about my six simple steps for social media, so what I just went through on the call, but in greater depth, and I give you action steps with each step. And they'll also get an audio, and they'll also get a checklist that teaches them how to build their following online. So if people want to check that out, grab it. It's free, and that's at she'sgotclients.com.
Perfect. Appreciate that. And before I wrap this up, is there anything else you'd like to share? Kind of last question I had here was, what's the one most important tip that you'd want everybody listening to know about?
Yeah. So I mean, I think the biggie is if you're not already doing social media regularly to, jump in, the water's fine. And if you're sort of there, but you've got one foot in, one foot out, it's time to really get, you know, on board fully, because I think there's more pros these days than cons to being a part of the social media world. So if you're sort of hesitating, or if you're sort of doing it inconsistently, you know, really take a look at how you can shift your strategy to be a stronger presence, because I find that there's, you know, not just for me, but for all my clients, have found that there's so many benefits to having a strong social media presence. So, you know, really just jump right in.
All right, great. Well, with that, really appreciate you taking the time on your day. Really appreciate everyone on the line taking the time. And hope everyone got a lot of value out of this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, great. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and have a great weekend.
All right, bye.
Bye. Take care.